And we are going to be opening our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 3. I think that we're going to find some interesting things in there. There's always a lot to consider, and actually the book of Isaiah, as you will see, is quite an all-inclusive book. You can pretty much tie it together with anything else in the Bible. In fact, what's interesting about it is there are 66 books in the Bible, and there are 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah. And I think if you study each chapter, you will find that they parallel. Chapter 1, you can find a lot of Genesis in it. Chapter 2, you can find some Exodus in it. Chapter 3, Leviticus, and so forth, all the way through. And chapter 66, you can find Revelation in there. It's really amazing. Ruth? Well, I don't know that. Probably not, but it's kind of amazing how it parallels now. I think it's rather interesting. See, the book of Isaiah was under a lot of attack for a long time by theologians, primarily Roman Catholic, but Methodist, Episcopalian. As a matter of fact, many of them said the book of Isaiah was so accurate about Jesus that it couldn't possibly have been written till after he came, so they said it was a forgery. But what was interesting about that, and I don't believe that for a minute, but what's interesting about it is back in the 1950s, there was a boy playing with rocks over there near the Dead Sea and near some caves, some hills. You know how little boys will throw rocks, and he was throwing them at the side of the hill, and all of a sudden he heard kind of a clunk. And so he climbed up the side of this hill and went into this cave, and there was a big jar there. Inside the jar were scrolls. You've heard of the Dead Sea Scrolls. There were pieces of books of the Old Testament, little portions of books all through there, but there was only one scroll that was a complete book. Which one do you think it was? It was the book of Isaiah. Now, why did God allow that scroll of Isaiah written in Masoretic text? Pure ancient Hebrew, not the modern mixed up stuff, but the pure ancient Hebrew, Masoretic text. Why did God preserve that in that jar, in that cave, up in that mountain? I think I know. Just to make monkeys out of all these professors and theologians that were trying to discredit it. Amen. And so he'll do things like that. You'd be surprised what will pop up all of a sudden in these last days, some ancient thing that God planted way back there just to make monkeys out of these guys nowadays. I mean, it's a wonderful thing. I love to see that happen. Praise God. Well, we're going to start in just a minute here. We're going to pray before we do. And I'm amazed with Isaiah in that I can find the United States in here. The current condition of our country, I can find it in here. You see, when you begin to be observant and have discernment and look around you, most people don't bother, but when you look around and begin to pray and consider, one thing that happens is you realize there's a demonic, satanic pattern that happens over and over and over. In other words, the devil has what's called a modus operandi. You know what that means. A method of operation. He does things a certain way. He'll manipulate governments, kings, situations, economies. Always using that same method of operation. And so you begin to pick up a trail, almost as if you are following footprints. And what does the Bible say in the book of Job about the devil? Remember when God said unto him, "Whence comest thou?" And he said, "From walking to and fro on the earth and going up and down in it." And you can see his ugly footprints every place he's been. Amen. So I think with that thought in mind, you know, we can really begin to bear down on some of this and see what the problems are that we face and then learn how to pray and overcome these things. We can win victories because the Bible says in the last days that God's people will do exploits. Amen. Darlene? I believe you can find some, it doesn't say AIDS, acquired immune deficiency syndrome, which is AIDS is an acronym for that. It doesn't say AIDS, but it will give you diseases that describe the symptoms of AIDS, and it will tell you about diseases that cannot be cured. In fact, I'm glad you brought that up because we are going to touch on that tonight in chapter 3. I think you will find, as we go through this, I'll try to point some of these out, and I think you will find some things that will really amaze you. But speaking of amazement, I'm just curious. I handed out a number of Sister Charlotte tapes, this woman who was in a convent. What thinkest thou? I'm just curious. Shocking, huh? If you had a chance to hear it. And it's for real. That woman came to Clintonville and spoke. And I'll tell you, she looked right at those priests. She looked them right in the eye. And she said, "You know what I'm saying is true." There are four of them sitting on the front row. And she called them for what they were. And she wasn't afraid of anything. Now, I don't think she's living any longer. She was in a... Louis? Uh-huh. She still is. Okay, she was in a nursing home, I guess. She does. I know she was in Canada for a while. And she didn't know who to trust. See, she was brought up very strict Catholic, you know, and went into the convent. But then she was taught as a Catholic that the enemy of the Catholics were the Freemasons. And of course, the Catholics started their own Knights of Columbus to fight against the Freemasons. That's what she was taught. But she discovered later on that there are many Catholics who are Freemasons. In fact, I was told that by a member of the Masonic Lodge here in town when they're trying to get me to join. They gave up on that a long time ago. But he said, "We've got a lot of..." I said, "I'm not going in there. I'm a minister of the gospel." He says, "We got a lot of ministers and we got Catholic priests." I said, "You've got Catholic priests in the lodge?" You know how you have to look surprised. And he said, "Oh, yes. Yes, we do." So, yeah, they're everywhere. And when you begin to look at the whole big picture, it gets pretty ugly. Pretty ugly. So I was just wondering what you thought of that, if anyone had a chance to listen to them yet. You might want to listen to them again sometime, but were you a little surprised? You know? Yeah, it's especially people who have been Catholic or are Catholic, if they listen to that, and you can tell that woman's telling the truth. And you know, if people doubt it, like she says, does she say it? I had two different sets, now I can't find the other set of tapes I had. It's very, very similar anyway, but she mentioned going down to Old Mexico and into the lime pits there where all the skeletons, those little babies were. She mentioned that in this set. It's been a while since I heard it. From all the priests that go in with the nuns and they kill these babies and throw them in the lime pits. Well, they have open tours down there where you can go to Mexico and you can go through there and see it for yourself. You know, it's a terrible thing. But you begin to realize that whole system, that there's a reason why that whole system is called Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I realize that it's more than just a false Christianity system. The Catholic system's only part of it. See, there are certain people who will say, "Well, the Roman Catholic Church, that's the whole conspiracy." No, it isn't. It's just a little piece of it. It's bigger than the Roman system. In fact, one indicator of that is, I think it was Callum and Rothschild. One of the Rothschilds, anyway, at one point in time had the Pope so much in debt to him that he forced the Pope to feed him kosher, to invite him to the Vatican and feed him kosher. And when they were sitting at the table, the Pope stood up and lifted up his chalice and said, "I drink to Rome, the holy city." And Rothschild stood up and said, "Jerusalem's the holy city." Lifted up his cup, and the Pope sat down and shut up. Because he knew who the boss was. See? That's a fact. That's a fact of history. So it's not, Rome is part of it. Rome is a decoy. It's a snare, it's a trap to bring in all the religions, put them all together. And that's why you see these evangelists such as Billy Graham. He's no surprise, is he? Oral Roberts and Jack Van Impe. Jack Van Imp, I call him. That's a little closer to being true. These guys are all pushing Rome. If you are a member of that system, they say, stay in it. What does God say? Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her plagues. Well, anyway, I don't think I'm off the subject. I just wanted to touch this a little bit here and see what you thought. If you haven't heard them yet, put them on, and you'll be in for a shock. If you want to get your adrenaline going, listen to those. It kind of makes you a little upset, doesn't it? Well, hallelujah. Maybe that's what we all need, be upset. It sure beats just the status quo. You know, some people are so mesmerized and illuminized, you can't even get a yawn out of them. It's a fact. Well, we don't want that to happen to us. Hallelujah. Now, let's pray. Oh, by the way, Ruth, don't worry about the accounting thing. You're talking about your new training. All you have to remember is debit to the left, credit to the right.
New battery.
Yes. A equals L plus P. accounting was something I never really loved dearly, but I am only 12 credits short of an accounting degree. I never went on to get it. One more semester is all I needed, and I'd have an accounting degree, but I thought, what would I do with that? You know, why waste the time? I'd rather spend a semester studying the Bible. So I have a degree in marketing, but I'm 12 short of accounting. Well, that's neither here nor there. But I'll help you, so don't worry about it. You'd probably be better off without me. Well, okay, praise the Lord. Why don't we have a word of prayer here? Father in heaven, we are thankful tonight that we can study thy word together, that we can look into thy perfect law of liberty, that we can understand that thy word is true, that we need to have wisdom, O Lord, wisdom from on high, that we might receive this, that we might do thy will. Lord, I pray that thou wouldst bind and break the powers of darkness, that thou wouldst rebuke and cast out every devil, every filthy and unclean spirit, every force of darkness, everything that would try to hinder us, everything that would try to take our attention away from thee. I pray, O God, that thou wouldst lift us up into heavenly places of understanding, guide and direct us, Lord, and we give thee the thanks for it. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise God. In the third chapter of Isaiah, it arrests our attention with a very alarming statement in chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "For behold, the Lord of hosts, doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water." That's interesting already, isn't it? That because of backsliding, now what do I mean by backsliding? When people who have knowledge that know better, that know the will of God, that have seen and tasted of the good things of God, when they begin to look at the people around them and begin to think, they've got a pretty good life, this looks like a lot of fun. You know, I want to boogie with them, you know. I want to do what they're doing. Maybe I should just use some plain old vernacular tonight. But anyway, I want to do what they're doing. I want to get with it. Get with the program out there. They looks like they're having a great time. And you start to mimic them. Monkey see, monkey do, right? You start to do what they're doing and celebrate the holidays they're celebrating. And get the rock music jiving in the church like they do. Pretty soon, you got the curse of God on you. You might say, how can this be? People curse themselves with disobedience. The Bible talks about cursed children, not only cursed strangers. How does this happen? People bring trouble to themselves. You have to understand that. They cause their own grief through disobedience. We have to understand that God is not there waiting to swing his sword. He's not out to get you. Amen. He's on your side, not on your back. The Lord is with you. He saved you out of a miserable situation, filled you with insight, with wisdom, with an unction from on high. He's not out to destroy you. He's here to preserve you, to defend you, to pick you up. Now, what you can do, and we have to understand this, you can, and God forbid that it happen, get into a pattern of disobedience where you bring trouble to yourself. And this happened time and time again to Israel. And it was as a warning to us. Because one of the ways that God made his consternation known is he cut off the staff and the stay, the bread, the water. Remember the days of Elijah the prophet? Elijah the prophet looked out there, they were worshiping Baal. These people were offering their babies in sacrifice. Terrible. And Elijah the prophet was so grieved that he said that as the Lord liveth, it will not rain upon the earth but by my word. And it didn't rain for 3.5 years, which parallels the time of the ministry of Jesus from age 30 until about 33.5. There's a parallel there. But God cut off the rain. Oh, and incidentally, if you haven't noticed yet, we may have some trouble here in our land because the winter wheat is devastated. And not only the winter wheat, but there's a lot of other crops that are devastated. This weather has been a freak weather, they call it. I look at it as the hand of God trying to get people's attention. See, a lot of people won't give God the glory, but I'm doing it. I'm saying the Lord's in charge here. He controls things, you see? Now, people can build devices and people can manipulate things, but ultimately, God is in control. You got to understand that. And if you can't believe that, then we all better just fold up and quit. You see, we have to believe that. And the fact is, it's true. Now, if we don't have, and this is interesting because Reuters News Service came out with this not long ago. In fact, I had mentioned this in my June issue of The Last Trumpet. That is that if we don't have a tremendous crop of everything this fall, we're in bad shape. Because the supplies, the storage that the government keeps, that's interesting too, is at an all-time low. An all-time low. And now the crops are failing everywhere, nationwide, and I don't know what this fall is going to bring. Now you might say, are you worried about that? I've learned a long time ago, worrying doesn't do any good. And I also know that the Lord said, take no thought for tomorrow. That doesn't mean we're oblivious to tomorrow, but it means we don't worry about tomorrow. We can prepare, we can plan ahead, but then don't worry. You see? You understand what I'm trying to say here? I mean, we can use our intelligence and do what we see is best to do and follow the leading of God's Spirit. But in doing so, then you should be able to set aside all the fear and all the worry and just go on doing His will. But we are in trouble in this country, and people are just not going to get away with what they're doing. Kind of interesting down there in Arkansas, we had some convictions. Praise the Lord. Prayer works. Now we got to go after Clinton. Yeah, his wife first. Yeah. Well, I didn't say which Clinton, but but yeah, she always is first. She's the first lady. Interesting, too, in witchcraft, the women are always more powerful than the men. And according to one witchcraft New Age witchcraft organization, Hillary is fourth degree. She's a fourth degree witch, fourth level. And Bill is third level. So that makes her the boss. Of course, we knew that. It wasn't Bill who was throwing the lamps in the ashtrays. It was Hillary. It wasn't Bill who picked up the Bible and threw it. It was Hillary who picked up a Bible and threw it at Bill. And he had the ducker. It would have hit him in the head, which might have rung his bell and done some good. I don't know. But I can't imagine anybody picking up a Bible and throwing it in anger. A Of course, you got to understand that this wonderful motherly type who loves to stay home and make cookies, her and Bill, the president, decided they're going to adopt a baby. I think we ought to sign a petition that they're unfit parents and send that to Pennsylvania Avenue. But anyway, yeah, they're going to adopt a baby, which is nothing more than a publicity stunt. Because there are so many people who think, oh, aren't they sweet? Look what a good heart they've got. I mean, after all, they're going to adopt a baby. And it's going to cause, they figure, the polls to go way up in his favor. Because now they're afraid they're dipping way down because of this Whitewater scandal. And let's face it, everybody who worked with the Clintons, they're falling over. They're going to jail. They're being fined. The outrage of outrage would be if Bill would pardon them. And he could do it. He could give them an unconditional pardon and they'd go free. Remember Jimmy Carter when he pardoned Patricia Hearst? Yeah, Nixon too, yes. That was Gerald Ford. Remember when Nixon said, pardon me, Jerry, and he said, I already did. But, no, there's not much difference. When you think of Jimmy Carter and Patricia Hearst, who was she? She was the heiress of the Hearst Enterprises, the publishing companies, radio stations all over the country. Lot of money. Follow the money trail, right? And he pardoned her when she was in that Symbionese Liberation Army. How good is your memory? Okay? Anyway, so we just see a whole lot of chicanery, shenanigans, and hooliganism going on all the time. I'm getting sick of it, too. Gives us a lot to talk about, though. Gives us a lot to write about. But we have to warn people, you know, don't look to this world for any kind of semblance of order. Because you're going to get chaos, and that's all. Nevertheless, we find that God said he would withhold, and he would take away the bread and the water, meaning what's necessary for life. He goes on and says in verse 2, the mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet, and the prudent and the ancient, the captain of 50, and the honorable man, and the counselor, and the cunning artificer, and the eloquent orator. What's he doing? They're all going to diminish, aren't they? They're all going to be stepped on. Who's going to step on them? It goes on to tell us, doesn't it? But actually, that reminds me of something. Remember who it was that Clinton picked for his White House spokesman and right-hand man when he first got in? George Stephanopoulos? Or the Stephanopoulos? Stephanopoulos is probably closer, isn't it? But that's exactly what they like to do, is tromp all over you. God said that these people would begin to vanish away. Really, you have to ask yourself, where are the astute, wise men? Where are they? People all over are saying there must be somebody who could be president. Must be somebody who has common sense. Oh, and by the way, I was told by one person, well, Bill Clinton is a great president because he is a Rhodes Scholar. That makes him an incredibly intelligent man because he's a Rhodes Scholar. You have to understand that the Cecil Rhodes Scholarship is not a measure of intelligence quotient. The Rhodes Scholarship means you have international leanings. It means you are a Machiavellian plotter. It means you are one-worldistic. Understand that? That's how you get a Cecil Rhodes Scholarship. He studied under J. William Halfbright. Fulbright. And that's how he got into this system. Oh, by the way, he did say recently that He should be exempt from any lawsuits while he's president. You know, it's really a shame somebody would have to say that. He said he should be exempt because not only is he president, but as commander-in-chief of the armed forces, he's in the military. That's his claim. Now, it's interesting he wants to latch onto the military and say, I'm in the military, and he really isn't. He's a civilian. It was set up that way. The commander-in-chief, the president, would the commander-in-chief of the military would be a civilian, the president. But he wants to claim the military. Why didn't he claim the military back there when he's going to Oxford instead of going to Russia and marching around with a red flag in the Kremlin Square? But now he wants the military because all these women are filing lawsuits against him. Oh, what a country we've got. I believe the Bible tells us of these days. Anyway, he tells how these people, these honorable men, these captains, these counselors, these eloquent orators would vanish away. And he says in verse 4, and I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. Children taking the authority over the parents, over those that are the ones who are supposed to be overseeing them. You understand what it's saying here? And the people shall be oppressed, every one by another. You know what the modus operandi of the Illuminists always has been? Everybody spy on everybody and report anybody who isn't lining up. That's always been there. You get that all-seeing eye, as they call it, above the pyramid, with that great light behind it, with the light burst behind the eye. That's the eye of Horus and the great light or illuminating force of Lucifer. Everybody spy on everybody. We had a phone call from a woman today. My wife took the call. I wasn't home. From Kentucky. She's gotten the newsletter for a number of years. She was telling about the school system there and some people that found out how important it is to the schools to gather all kinds of information on their parents. And I've asked a couple of teachers in Wisconsin, and they have verified that there are forms coming out with some very nosy questions. Detailed questions about the family. And if you don't fill them out, in this case, some people from the school came to the people's home with the forms and insisted that they were filled out. Tim? Coming fast, isn't it? I didn't know that. I hadn't heard that. But if it... Mm-hmm. Goals 2000, huh? Yeah, in this particular place in Kentucky, they actually went out to the home with these forms, and they offered the children $20 to fill out the form. That's what you call bribing them. They want to know about some of the habits of the parents, how they spend their time. They started this in Oregon, and we're going to try and get a hold of some of these forms, these questionnaires. In some cases, how often do your mother and dad lock their bedroom door? You know, because they want to know all the intimate details of the family. And the reason for that is that they... And I'm not trying to shock anybody here. I'm just telling you like it is. And if you get shocked, it's the way it goes. But a computer database has fields in it. You understand that? This is real basic here. And they want all those fields accounted for. in order to make their whole database work, because this gets fed into a big computer. They flag certain things. Then when they do surveillance on people, if certain words are being spoken, if certain things are happening, the computer picks that up, then they can zoom in on it and record it. If you go and check out books at the library, it goes into a computer down in Houston, Texas. And another one in St. Louis, Missouri. And another one in New York City. And another one in Brussels, Belgium. They know what you're checking out at the library. And they know what you're reading. When you go shopping at the grocery store, anything you buy on a credit card, the receipts are detailed now, aren't they? If you buy a box of Cracker Jacks, they're going to know about it. It's amazing, isn't it? Yeah, it's been a fact data gathering system for a long time. It seems like, and that this is all interesting, these are all pieces of the puzzle, these various massive mainframes with tentacles like an octopus going all directions, gathering all this data. They have such a dossier on you that your life right now is a completely open book. Social workers are agents for the government. You have to understand that. And I was talking to a woman recently. That goes back a little ways, but she was telling me that someone from right here in town, she was saying that she had a discrepancy with her water bill. She went down and had it checked on. She said that they brought up on the computer the information for her water bill, but with it, there was a plan came across the screen for her house and her basement, and here she looked at a digitized picture on the screen. It had the whole layout of her basement, where her washing machine was, where her dryer was, all this stuff was all in there, and where the water meter was. It was all in the computer. She said, I didn't think anybody came in the house and took a picture or anything. Well, they don't really need to do that. They have other ways of doing it. But she was absolutely shocked to see that they had her whole basement was in this database. So, you know, what's really interesting, too, is now remember, the government never is out to help you. They're trying to kill as many people as they can for the sake of their precious Mother Earth. But a number of years ago, they said, we need to get all the lead paint out. No more lead paint. Because lead, you know, kids could bite on it and get lead poisoning. They don't care. They don't care about that at all. All this stuff done in the name of public safety. The reason they wanted all the lead out of the paint and all the lead out of anywhere in the house is because it would interfere with the various surveillance methods they use, the sound and radio waves and so forth that they can send through has a hard time. Lead will either block it or scramble it. And so they wanted all the lead out of the paint. See? And the way to do that is you make it illegal. Yeah, it's happening so fast. There's so much going on. I think as Christian people, we need to be aware of what's going on out there, what the Bible says, put it together, and try, hard though it may be, try to wake people up, get them to repent and follow the Lord. Because there just isn't much time left. You wonder sometimes, what would it take? Doesn't anything shock anybody anymore? They've even covered that one, haven't they? They've shown people so many television programs, so many special effects, so many movies. People have seen other people blown apart. They've seen people, everything happen to people, all kinds of situations, and it's become a fantasy land in their mind. They can't discern between what's real and what isn't anymore. You tell them all this, it sounds like a fairy story. It sounds like a movie to them that will come to some kind of a happy ending. It'll all work out in the end. They'll walk out of the theater of life and everything will somehow be all right. Uh-huh. Yeah. See, they do that kind of stuff, you know. A lot of movies have been put out to cover or to lay the groundwork for something they're planning to do. A number of years ago, they had that movie Iron Eagles. Very popular movie. Louis Gossett Jr. Anybody ever see that one? And that came out. Remember, this boy went into Libya. They didn't call it Libya. It was Libya, though. When they showed that map, that was Libya. And this boy went in and rescued his father. Remember? Quite an entertaining little piece of masonry there. But anyway, it was just shortly after that movie came out, what happened? We went into Libya, didn't we? They lay the foundation first. Then they had Iron Eagles 2. Where was that? Iraq. The Iraqi war. Shortly after Iron Eagles 2, we went into Iraq. It's amazing what they do. You got to watch the movie industry because they're out there to program people to accept something that the government is about to really do. And then you won't be able to discern in your mind or sort out what's real? What's the movie? Did this really happen? There are subliminals planted in there, and it really can mess you up. But they've done that to people. They've shown them so many things, they can't sort truth from fiction anymore. Well, you got to remember one thing, though, too. They are scared to a certain extent. They're uncertain. They don't have everything locked up to perfection. They really mess things up on their own sometimes. And there's a God in heaven who can really throw a monkey wrench into their equipment. You can be sure of that. He's done it before. I've seen him do it a number of times. But yeah, they like to know everything you've got and who's willing to stand up against them. In fact, a former agent of the government one time told Dr. Stuart Crane, whenever you have a consistent gathering of over 20 people who know what's going on, there will be an agent that'll come in as a plant and be in among those people. Let's see here. That's what he said. Now, he worked. He was one of them. This man who said that was one of them. So now I suppose everybody would be scrutinizing any new person walks in the door. Comment, Ruth?
Oh, I was just going to say, I'm wondering if you're saying words, you mentioned that you have a self-destruct mechanism built into their own machines. I mean, if you look at some of their techniques, let's not have a bunch of people off by planting some nasty
Yeah, they become their own worst enemy because they're evil. And evil destroys, and because they are evil, there has to be a self-destruct mechanism in there. That's right. Okay, I got a couple of hands here. Dorothy?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. That's right. And it's witchcraft, really, is what it is. And I'll tell you this also. When I grew up in Clintonville, across the street from us was a very, very ultra-Catholic family. One of the sons became a priest. And he had a girlfriend in high school, but he made arrangements that after he'd be a priest, she'd come and be his housekeeper. But anyway... somebody's got to clean the house, right? But anyway, I didn't say anything. But this man was a friend of some of my brothers. I have five brothers, three sisters. And they went to school with him. His mother called him Father Leroy, you know, her son. That was real strange. But anyway, he told my brothers when he was going to the seminary, he said, at this time, we're learning how to use the sixth and seventh books of Moses. Did you ever hear of those? Uh-huh. Witchcraft is what it is. Kabbalistic witchcraft. And terrible things. But the priests in the seminary were learning how to use witchcraft. How to cast spells on people. How to give people grief and trouble if they get in the way. I think that's rather amazing. So, you know, the beat goes on. Sister Pat.
I think what being so innocent.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I guarantee you, try a little experiment. Try telling some people about the schools with questionnaires and all this stuff. I guarantee you it won't be long until you run into people who will say, so what? You know, that information isn't going to hurt anything. We're not doing anything. That's okay. Let them have it. Tell them willingly. See?
By the body, you can't do anything to the body anyhow.
Yeah.
That's a good answer.
Sure. Yeah, I can't stop them. Let them go, you know. I'll tell you, where is the fight? You know, where is the fight in people? Elijah looked at a deplorable situation. What did he say? It's not going to rain. I'll get their attention. Amen. Prayer. Thank God. Okay, we better continue here. You know, we like to take all these little side roads. I'm kind of glad we do, because we learn a lot. But let's dig in once again. Notice how he said in verse 4, I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. And then it talks about people spying on each other. And the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient. Do you ever see that? Children mocking older people, laughing at them. Look at the old man, you know. Oh, by the way, children should never refer to their parents as the old man or the old lady. Because if they do, there's a real nice spot right here where a hand fits real good, you know, right on the side of the face. And I'll tell you, these impudent children that refer to their parents as the old man or the old lady need a good one. There's not enough of it. Whew. And, of course, Dr. Spock wouldn't like that. Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I'll tell you. So you never had that problem. But, you know, I'll tell you, it's this disrespect, you know, that the young people have is a sign of the times. He shall behave himself proudly against the ancient and the base against the honorable. Notice what it says there, the base, what does that mean? The wicked, the slothful, the... People who are just, what could I do for an example here? Some of these people who are on welfare, on the dole, I like to call it, get all upset because they think they got more money coming, or they're not getting enough help. Do you ever run into people like that? They don't appreciate the fact that they're being helped. They want more. It's incredible. And people who are trying, here's a little better example yet, people who are trying to serve God, these people who are just rank heathens, will say the foulest, meanest, nastiest things they can about people that they know are doing what's right and good. Just no respect at all. We're seeing this in our day. When a man shall take hold of his brother of the house of his father, saying, thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler, and let this ruin be under thy hand. What does that mean? Now understand, clothing in those days was comparable to money. It was worth a lot. And what he's saying here is, there's going to be a disagreement in families as to who's going to lead the family. In other words, nobody's going to want to do it. Instead of, in the old days, remember where Jacob wanted Esau's birthright, and there he wanted to be the leader and be in a position of leadership. Here things would be so bad, nobody wants the leadership, that it would get that bad. In that day shall he swear, saying, I will not be an healer, for in my house is neither bread nor clothing. Make me not a ruler of the people. In other words, I don't want any position. I don't want to improve myself or be a leader among men. I would rather mix in with a crowd, in with a comfortable, deluded crowd. Let's face it, there are a lot of people in this world that would be totally happy if they had their 3 square meals a day and their television to watch and a little of this and a little of that for recreation on the weekend and just live their life through. Never a challenge, never trying to do anything that would really accomplish something. You know them and I know them. They're all over the place. People will say, don't interrupt me, don't interrupt my life. I don't want to have to to deal with this? Are you trying to scare me? Well, that's what it takes. Amen. For Jerusalem is ruined and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory. Watch this now. You can see it on their faces. The show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Remember how the Bible talks about a whore's forehead? A whore has a certain kind of a forehead. In other words, a certain look on her face, a hardness. You know what I'm talking about. I don't think I have to explain it in detail. But here it goes one step further and mentions to us that in the last days, people would have hard faces. They would not try to hide their sin. There's no shame there. They don't try to hide it. What sin? The sin as Sodom. What was the sin of Sodom? Queerdom. Homosexuality. Lesbianism. The great gay society, as it were. They don't deserve that word, but they've already totally mutilated it, so I guess we'll let them have it. We don't use it anymore, do we? The word gay. There was a time when you used to use that. It meant happy. But they latched on to it. Sure. You know, if I mention at the university where I work, if I mention how awful homosexuality is, you know what people tell me? And people, supervisory positions, people in authority, and a lot of other people just say, they're just doing their thing, leave them alone, you know? Don't criticize them. It's not normal. All right, Louis? Oh, sure.
I said, if you mean like a person that's a child molester, should we treat those people? The rapist, is that a disease also? And you know, he said, yeah, they're all diseased.
Hmm.
You know, it's sin. That's what it is.
They don't want to admit it's sin, so they call it a disease. Okay. But notice, he mentions specifically Sodom here. And they hide it not. They don't hide it, do they? They have parades. Gay, what? Pride. Let everybody know. You know, they got nothing to be proud of. We can't even talk about what those people do to practice their lifestyle, if you want to call it that. I can't bring up the stuff they do. You don't even want to think about it very much. And who wants to parade that particular issue? They have no conscience and no shame at all. And they're not innocent little tooth fairies either. They're violent. They're nasty. They kill people. See, we're supposed to think they're a bunch of limp-wristed little innocent little fairies. Huh? Hi there, you know, that kind of thing. Uh-uh. A little bit of each, not enough of neither. Who is that now?
DuPont.
Oh, yeah, the DuPont. Yeah, that situation. Yep. Sure. Oh, what a world. Isn't this great? I mean, we can look at this, see how rotten it is, and then know that we're not part of it. You know? We're trying to help people, but we got to make them see it too. They've got to see it like you see it. Woe unto their soul. What does the word woe mean? It's the opposite of blessing. Opposite of blessing. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Notice they're getting it right back, aren't they? In the form of AIDS. And that is, and I say this in the face of every person who would contradict what I'm saying, I don't care who they are, AIDS is a queer disease. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him. Well, there's your good news. See that? Smile. If you're righteous, smile. Say to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. You do righteous things, you'll have righteous fruit. That's the promise of Almighty God. Right in the midst of all this perversion, you'll be okay. Woe unto the wicked. I will tell you this, though, even if I didn't have what I got, I wouldn't want what they've got. Woe unto the wicked. It shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. As for my people, oh, here's a verse that ought to be etched in gold and put up high, where everybody can see it. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. Now remember Monday at before our picnic, I was preaching, and I kind of got down on women in positions of governmental leadership and how it should not be. And I'm thankful that I can preach to real women here who understand what I'm trying to say. The Bible verifies this, and I knew that or I wouldn't have said it, that there would come a time when women would rule over the men, over the governments, over the people, and cause them to err and to destroy the way of their paths. Why would this happen? It's not supposed to be. They're outside of the will of God when they do that. It's amazing, isn't it, really? Can you think of anything more pathetic than an incompetent woman? I mean, somebody who's not a Christian now, trying to get up and assert herself in the Senate. I mean, when they get up and make speeches in the Senate, and I've heard some of them do it, or in the legislature, House of Representatives, it sounds hollow. They're up there preaching away at something, and it doesn't have any punch. You almost want to laugh. You understand what I'm saying? God didn't want it that way. Women were not supposed to govern. They're not made to govern. Boy, I'll tell you, what I ought to do is get out there in the street and preach like this. You realize how many pies would be thrown in my face? Tomatoes? Dead cats? Whatever?
Yeah,
the 45 caliber, yeah. Well, I've been shot at before, I think I mentioned here. The Lord will enter, pardon me, verse 13. The Lord standeth up to plead and standeth to judge the people. The Lord will enter into judgment with the ancients of his people and the princes thereof, for ye have eaten up the vineyard. The spoil of the poor is in your houses. What is that talking about? Do you realize that since women started to get into the legislatures, into the governmental positions, suddenly the whole nation started going on welfare? Oh, we got to help these poor people. These poor people who can't find a job, you know, we got to help them. We all struggle with that, don't we? The way the economy is right now, you could be a very skilled person. If you're a white male, you're at a disadvantage. It was a miracle I've got the job I've got, because I was in some running in some positions for it, for different jobs with the state, and I was told right out that if you're a white male, you might as well just forget about having the job, because we have quotas. And, you know, if you were homosexual, we'd consider you. What? And this is a one nation under God? Huh? It's under something else, the way it is now. What mean ye that ye beat my people to pieces and grind the faces of the poor, saith the Lord God of hosts? And by the way, if you hand out freebies to people all the time, you are grinding their faces. You're not helping them. You're not teaching them to fish. You're giving them the fish, right? The quickest way to destroy the poor is just give them handouts, and give them handouts, and give them handouts. Give them a job. And if the women would stay home and bake cookies and have babies, preferably male babies. I'm just saying that to get in trouble here. There'd be enough jobs for all the men. There'd be plenty. But they come strutting in with their ball-bearing hips and painted nails, and they get the job, don't they? Can you type? I don't know. I never tried. You know?
50 mistakes a minute.
Yeah. You understand what I'm trying to say? Yeah. Oh, yes. And to them, they feel that men and women are created equal. It's just women are a little more equal. See? You got to understand that. That's really the way they feel. I'm talking about the radicals now. But if a married woman with children, especially, if she would bake her cookies, have children, take care of the house, that's a tremendous job. I have a lot of respect for a woman who does that. I really do. If they have a family, that's the first calling. If God has brought children out of your womb for you to hold and to raise up, that's a high calling of God. It really is. And most women, you know what the number one reason for abortion is? So women can pursue their careers. The baby's in the way. Kill it. Pathetic situation, isn't it? And I'll read verse 16. I'm going to come back to 16 next time because we're out of time now, but doesn't it go fast? Verse 16 says, "Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion..." Why is God picking on them? I thought just Meyer did that. Huh? "Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes..." Gold digging, wanton eyes. "Come hither, come hither. Bring forth your wallet." Huh? "Walking and mincing as they go." That's that peculiar hitch in their get along, you know. "And making a tinkling with their feet." These little charms and ornaments that they wear. Oh, we got to read 17 yet, too. "Therefore the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts." Disease. Venereal disease. Incurable venereal disease. In fact, let's look at Deuteronomy 28:27. Deuteronomy 28:27. "The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with the emerods, and with the scab, and with the itch whereof thou canst not be healed." Is there such a thing as an incurable disease? Yep, if God lays it on him, it's incurable. And he said it would happen. Oh, where do you stop? 18 yet, and I promise I'll quit. All right? I have to find a stopping point here. "In that day the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet." Now, the bravery here means assertiveness. They think they're so dolled up and so provocative, so alluring and so seductive, that all the men will just kind of melt in their presence and give them any promotion or anything they want. And it happens a lot of places. God said, I'll take that away from them. And their calls and their round tires like the moon. Now, calls there refers to headbands, scarves, decorations of the hair. Round tires like the moon refers to when they wrap their hair all up on their head, a big pile of hair on their head, they wrap it around and around and around and around. Yeah. Takes a lot of spray to hold that up. And actually, they have devices. They have erector sets under there. They got boxes and things. One woman one time in this church I used to be in, she had her hair way up about that high. She had an oatmeal box under it. Quaker Oats, one of those round ones. That's how she got it to stay up, you know, wrapped it around and around and around. A great big mop up there. Yeah, God said, I'll take that away. It goes on and tells about the other things. You can read this on your own, but I'll cover it next time as we go through our adventure here in Isaiah. But suffice it to say that these are perilous times that we're living in. And I hope you can appreciate that to the extent that we'll just trust God, keep praying. Isn't it nice to see the Bible verifies all this? I mean, you could look at the world and go, oh no, what are we going to do? Or you could say, yeah, the Bible told me so. And all that tells me is there is a God in heaven. He called this a long time ago and put it here so we could read it and have faith that in spite of all of this, he's going to take us through. I can't find my own way, but I can learn to follow him. Amen. Shall we stand together? Hallelujah. Father in heaven, we are once again thankful for what we've learned tonight, for this time together. And I hope and pray, O Lord, that every one of us will be encouraged in the Spirit, even in thy Spirit, O Lord, the Holy Ghost, and that thou wouldst preserve us, defend us, lead and direct us and strengthen us, O God, as thou leadest us in the way everlasting. Help us to never be discouraged, but help us rather to rejoice in that we know thou art with us, even according to thy word. I pray that thou wouldst bless and be with thy people, strengthen our faith. We thank thee, O God, for salvation. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.